afternoon, everyone. Okay, just looking around. And it is just good to see so many of you here today, those of our members, those who are visiting with us here, maybe for the first time, I do not know, but we just want to extend to you our heartfelt Watford Town welcome. It is good to see you. We are actually in the midst of our series. We are presenting the Word of God from the book Steps to Christ. We are probably somewhere in the chapter that is entitled Faith and Acceptance. So if you are reading and you are following, in fact, I would encourage you to read outside of our time together. The actual presentation of the word will make, we will make stops or one or two stops in the book itself. But largely, we're going to be presenting on the theme. So the title, as you can clearly see today, is Trust Jesus Christ Alone. Amen? Trust Jesus Christ Alone. Jeremiah, chapter 17, thank you, Alex, for reading. Oh, you didn't finish? That's all right. That's okay. Yeah. So Jeremiah chapter 17. And I'm reading from the New King James. This says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Actually, this is King James. And those whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. And that harps to what? Those of you, Right. Psalm chapter 1. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That is a result of trusting God. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for this privilege. Indeed, it is a privilege. Heavenly Father, we do not take it for granted at all. This is your sacred desk. And Father, it is my prayer that you will speak through this lump of clay. And that your name will be glorified, and we will be drawn to you. Again, Father, I just want to pray, because unseen to us, O Lord, even in this room are principalities and powers. And they only have one intention, and that is to distract, annoy, and perplex. Just as was sung in the song, we pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, you will shut them out and enclose us in this sanctuary with you and holy angels. Father, our ears are opened and our hearts are open to receive from you. Speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. In Jesus' name. Trust Jesus Christ alone. We live in a world where everyone is striving to be self-sufficient. Would you agree? This is a goal of life. The object that is kept in view. Thus, we have the education system, which through it, those of us have passed through, others of us are going through, and it is considered important, and rightfully so, for you and I to get an education, because this is the preparation stage for getting on the ladder of self-sufficiency. The following next steps are the rungs on this ladder of self-sufficiency. One, after education, it is to get a job so that you can earn your own money, so that two, you can buy your own house and car, and three, pay your own bills and manage your own life. To be self-sufficient is the goal. The object that is readily kept in view. Now, the definition of self-sufficiency and dependence is this: needing no outside help in satisfying one's basic needs. Needing no outside help. So I'm self-sufficient. I don't need outside help. I am fine, thank you. You know, there are other words that can actually be used interchangeably with this word self-sufficiency. We have words like independent. Other words like self-supporting, self-sustaining, self-reliant. That's just a name a few. Well, what is the antonym to self-sufficiency? It is a word beginning with D. Dependence. Now, dependence is often seen as a bad word and is associated with being needy, reliant, or emotionally unstable. But I want you to notice this afternoon, this very interesting statement that I came across. According to one research group, what really helps people, and I'm saying what really helps people become happy, successful, and even independent. Now hear this. Is a strong, dependable connection. A strong, dependable connection. And that reminds me of the Bible text in John 8 and verse 32 that says, you will know the what? The truth, and the truth will do what? That's independence. So what I'm pointing out here is, as they say, what really helps people become happy, successful, and even independent is not self-sufficiency per se, but a strong, dependable connection. I'm going somewhere with this. So this dependable connection is especially significant when it comes to overcoming sin, experiencing victory, and forming a character like Christ. Here, my brothers and sisters, is a crucial point. If we want to have real contentment, to be successful in heaven's eyes, and to experience true freedom, you and I must have a strong day-to-day dependence on Jesus Christ alone. In practice, practically speaking, in our day-to-day lives, the Holy Spirit is working to awaken and sensitize our consciences to our sins, and for us to see the evilness of these sins and to realize the power that these sins have over us. When we come to the place through the working of the Holy Spirit where we feel uncomfortable with practicing those sins, our natural knee-jerk first response is to be self-sufficient. To seek to modify our behavior through self-reliance. In Steps to Christ, we read the following. Page 49. The more you struggle to escape, the more you realize your what? Your helplessness. Your motives are impure. Your heart is unclean. You see that your life has been filled with selfishness and sin. You long to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to be set free. Harmony with God. Likeness to Him. Now here comes a vital question. What can you do to obtain it? The answer is not self-sufficiency. Because, next slide, money cannot do what? Intellect cannot what? Wisdom cannot. You can never hope by your own efforts to secure it. So we ask the question again. What can you do to obtain it? I quote again from Steps to Christ, page 49. Next slide. Let's read this together. God offers it to you as a what? As a gift. Without money, without price. It is yours if you will but what? Reach out your hand and grasp it. The Lord says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Then he goes on to say, a new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. So, my brothers and sisters, when you have confessed your sins and in heart you put them away, you make up your mind, you determine to surrender yourself to God. Then the next slide. Here we go. Go to Him and ask that He will do what? Wash away your sins and give you a what? A new heart. Now, what is to follow, my brothers and sisters, is a very important next step. A very important next step. Next slide. Then what? Believe. Believe. So in other words, have faith. Or in other words, trust that Jesus does this. Why? Because He has promised. You know, we just sung the words in the first hymn. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. You see, you cannot be saved without trust. John 3 verse 36 tells us that. You cannot live victorious over the world without trust. 1 John 5 verse 4, for those who are taking notes, says that. You cannot please God without trust. Hebrews 11 verse 6, as Pastor Richard said. You cannot pray without trust. James 1:6. You cannot have peace with God without trust. Romans 5, verse 1. And 1 Peter 1, verse 8 says that you cannot have joy without trust. You are justified by trust, Galatians 2, verse 16 tells us. And you are to live by trust, Galatians 2, verse 20 says. You and I are made righteous by trust, Romans 10, verse 1 to 4. And Christ will dwell within your heart by trust, Ephesians 3, verse 17. The Holy Spirit of God is received by trust, Galatians 3 and verse 12. And trust, my brothers and sisters, is important because it honors God. And God always honors trust. And trusting Jesus Christ alone will give us victory. I am thankful for the statement that we find here in manuscript number one that was written in 1890. It says the following. Every provision has been made. Everything in God's plan has been arranged so that man should not be left to his own impulses, to his own finite powers, to carry on the warfare against the powers of darkness in his own finite strength. Because if he would, he would certainly fail. Now, my brothers and sisters here in Watford Town, God is inviting you and I to press on the upward way, to climb up higher, to make commitments, for this is the only way that we will experience Pentecost. God is calling us as a church higher. He is calling you and I higher. But the reality is, all of us are struggling with sin in one area or another. And you know what? We are being assailed time and time again by the laser accurate dart of Satan in that area that we are all too familiar with. That area where we are consistently vulnerable and we are weak and spiritually fragile, and we come to church week after week feeling like a fraud, but having to put on a brave face. Others of us are about ready to throw in this religious thing because it hasn't worked. We gave it our best shot, but the things of the world and the enticements of the flesh are too strong for us in our self-sufficiency to resist. Brothers and sisters, there is something that we need to understand today. Jesus says, I am the one who has the power. I am the one who has the power to take you through the challenges, the twists, and the turns of this life. I am the one, Jesus says, that can give you the power to be in this world and yet not of it. I am the one who is all powerful that can keep you from falling until I return. Satan is the one who wants to give us the impression that he is the king of this world and that every man, woman, boy, and girl is helplessly, hopelessly under his control. Well, I have news for us today. I want to share with you that Jesus says in John chapter 17 and verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, he says, ye may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. When Jesus came to this world, Satan said to his cronies, this one is for me. I will take him on myself. And he was convinced that as he caused Adam to sin, so he will do the same with Jesus. But toward the end of his earthly ministry, after Jesus had put his trust fully in his Father from childhood to manhood, Jesus declared, the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. That is why Paul was able to say in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, for we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just like as we are, yet without sin. And so because Jesus thrashed Satan on his own turf, anyone who puts their trust in Jesus alone can thrash the devil too. Refuse in the name of Jesus to let Satan have dominion over you. Victory over all sin has been gained for us through Jesus Christ. So through trusting in Jesus Christ alone, we too can be victorious. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 says, but thanks be to God which giveth who? Us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But I hear someone say, how can I obtain this victory? I have been trying for years. My brother, my sister, Jesus already got the victory over your issue. What he wants to do is to come in and live his life in you. If you find that you are failing in any area of your life, it is because you haven't given it over completely to Jesus. And we come to church from week to week with the same problem, weighing us down. Hoping, as did Martin Luther, who labored up the staircase of self-sufficiency on his knees to gain the victory. And one day he heard the voice of Jesus saying to him, Luther, Luther, it is no good you climbing up those stairs, punishing yourself in order to kill the desires of the flesh. The just shall not live by climbing stairs. The just shall live by faith. You know, as one gospel writer penned her experience in these words, she said, Lord, I try to do my best, but the road seems so hard to climb. Lord, I try, but I don't succeed. Blood, sweat, and tears, and fears. Is there any way that I can make it by myself? For I've looked and I've found no one else. I need your help. I won't try by myself. For I know that help is mine if I want it. And my help lies in God. The old hymn writer says, not the labor of my hands can fulfill the Lord's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. You see, my brothers and sisters, I just want to let you know that there is victory for us in the name of Jesus Christ alone over all our sins. There's victory over bad habits. Victory over an evil tongue. Victory over unclean thoughts. Victory over character-destroying music you may be listening to. Victory over addictions. There is victory in the name of Jesus over adultery and fornication. Victory over malice and backbiting. Victory over cheating and stealing. Victory over gossiping and tale-bearing. You can't do it no matter how hard you try. It is Jesus alone. This is not a matter for self-determination. It is a matter of utter dependence on Jesus alone. Your promises and my promises are like ropes of sand. It is Jesus alone. Revelation 3 and verse 20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door. If you open the door, Jesus says, I will do what? I will come in. Paul says in Philippians 1 and verse 6, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that he who began a good work in you will also be faithful to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a hymn, the words are so poignant, so weighty, so real. It's a hymn that we know, I believe that we know. Probably I would have sung it at the end of the service today, but I wasn't sure if everyone knew it. But hear the words. Listen to the words. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Do we know it? Trusting only thee. Trusting thee for full salvation, great and free. Listen to the second verse. I am trusting thee for pardon. At thy feet I bow. For thy grace and tender mercy, trusting now. Third verse. I am trusting thee for cleansing. Now, this is one of the ones that we don't find in our Seventh-day Adventist hymnal, but it's there. I found this in the original. That's where they had probably more than four verses, sometimes six or even seven verses, but you know, it'll be too long for us. But the words here are very important. I am trusting thee for cleansing. So we'll catch up, you know, when we get there. In the crimson flood, trusting thee to make me holy by thy blood. That's an important verse. Fourth verse. I am trusting thee to guide me. Thou alone shalt lead. Every day an hour supplying all my need. That's dependence. Fifth verse. I am trusting thee for power. Thine can never fail. Words which thou thyself shalt give me must prevail. Sixth verse and last. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Never let me fall. I am trusting thee forever and for all. What can I say? Jesus has paid it all. As I said, I don't know. But I know one thing I do know. I don't know what it is that you may be struggling with in your life. But all that I do know is that we all are struggling with one sin or another. I can't stand before you and say, I am not. Otherwise, I'll be a liar. We are all struggling and wrestling with sin of one description or another. We are all going through that battle and that struggle, wondering why sin is having so much dominion over me. Today, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I will demonstrate my power in you. That which you believed had dominion over you, I will conquer in your life. What is it that you're wrestling with and struggling with? I'm just coming down. What is it that you're struggling with? As I speak, I am sure in your mind will come up the area where you're struggling. And you've maybe been struggling with this for months, maybe years. The Holy Spirit of God convicted your heart a long time ago, or maybe recently, and you know, Jesus is calling you higher. Today, I want to invite you to come and stand with me, a sinner, but one who understands where the power comes from. And Jesus is saying to you and me, I want to take away from you
Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, Jesus says, I want to give you a new heart. And a new spirit I want to place within you. I want to sprinkle you with clean water. I want to take out that heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. I want to cause you to obey my statutes and keep my laws. If it is your desire, you want to say, Lord, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Trusting only thee. I am trusting thee for pardon. I am trusting thee for power. If that is you, I'm asking you and inviting you to come and stand here with me. We want to pray. As the Spirit of God impresses your heart, let us bring ourselves, our weaknesses, our failings, our sins. You know, as I've said, I believe with my whole heart that God is going to do something for Watford Town. I believe it with my whole heart. But as Nehemiah identified that there is so much rubbish that is blocking up the way and it needs to be cleared. You know, when they cleared the rubbish, the walls, and that the walls of the city were rebuilt in less than 50 days. Do we want the walls of Watford Town to be rebuilt? As we are standing here today as individual workmen in his vineyard, the Spirit of God is speaking to our hearts and identifying in us the area, because he loves you. And he wants to be glorified in you and me. We want to clear away the rubbish, whatever that is. And we want Jesus to do the spring cleaning. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you open the door, he says, I will come in. And when he does come in, he will spring. By the grace of God, that's what I want for my own life. And I pray we will too. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And I pray, may God indeed perform in you and me that work. whatever it is, Jesus has the power. The word is believe. Believe. Trust. And he will do it. Whatever the obstacle in your life, whatever the sin, whatever it is, trust, believe, he will do it. Let us pray. Father, our simple prayer is the prayer of that hymn. We are trusting you, Lord Jesus, for salvation full and free. We are trusting you for pardon, and that pardon that we can receive right now. We are trusting you for power. We are trusting you for cleansing. We are trusting you, Lord Jesus, that you will never let us fall. We are trusting you forever and for all. Please, please, blessed Father, hear our prayer. Wash and cleanse us as a community of faith from every stain of sin, as the Spirit of God awakens our conscience, Father, we lift up before you even now those sins. And we pray, Heavenly Father, transport them away from us. Preserve them where you promise that you will, there in the sanctuary in heaven that will eventually be placed upon the head of Satan. Where, Father, that will be the end. We thank you that you separate our sins as far as the east is from the west, as the north is from the south. Grant us, Heavenly Father, the faith to believe that you have done this. And by virtue of the fact that we're standing here, O gracious Lord, we want to confess our sins and know that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Grant unto us, we pray, finally, Father, the power of your Holy Spirit, that, Father, you can work in and through us here in Watford Town. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Was the message clear?